text, it appears that they are going to be pulled down and it will all fall apart. Who is going to be found out? Who is falling apart at the lying seams? What, moreover, is Leon going to do when he has to face truth of who is lying and cheating and who has held to truth? Where will you lying parasites be on that day? Or have you eaten away at the very fabric of his trust and being as to destroy the very beauty of such a wondrous soul? How proud will you be of yourselves on that day? How will you giggle at yourselves in those mirrors on that day? Will you just say, come on, Leon, we thought. Will you hope that there is no higher God to witness your acts on that day? Ah, yes, there will be that day. There always comes a day of truth, no matter how small, how hidden, or how humble. And that day is coming very soon now. A court of injustice can easily deny justice, but it is very hard for it to hide the truth. It may not rule with truth, but truth is often unveiled in the efforts to distort and bear the lie. Who lied to who first? And I'll change the tape. Who lied to who first? Oh, now you will blame the first lie teller, or what? I remind you that evil does not continue to support its friends. Evil has no friends, for it is always me first, last, and always. The liar will turn on the believers of his lies and laugh at you, and then destroy you before he will allow the shade to rest upon his sick head. Perhaps, however, truth shines ever so much more brightly after the storm is over.
You were perfect. You're going to hear.
Now, don't you get insulting. I'm just going to say nice things about you. Well, hurry up and read before he thinks and breathes.
Yeah. He's bound to come up with something even smarter, isn't he? Justice is not in a courtroom. Justice is within. And you know when you are unjust, for it shows in your need to further lie. Why would a tale such as that of Adam and Eve be started? What part of themselves did they cover? Ah, do we not then deduce that possibly there was a thought of right or wrong? What part of you do you cover when you know you present wrong? If you know you bear falsely, you will cover truth with lies from your lips. But ah, you cannot forever hide, for truth will always out. There is no perfection here. That's a neat statement. Just people trying to do the very best they can under the greatest odds available for success.
You would have thought I paid him to say that, wouldn't you?
Do they or did they err? Oh, yes, indeed. When they trusted you who have betrayed them and yourselves. Can you again say that of your brethren now requiring that you help them in their own gain? How happily you have supplied the enemy with the very documents which will prove innocence of the ones under attack. How wondrous of you to lie one time to many. Justice may well not be gained in any courtroom, but justice will prevail, and you will not... Let's see... And you, thieves of truth, will be revealed in all your glory as the lies are shed. God, too, has a plan 2000. God does not leave his people. May we all grow from our experiences, both from the light and from the darkness of ignorance and intentional wrongdoings. For we know not their contract. Let us not allow the hurt to fill our beings, for that is the point. To distract, cause doubts, pull you from course, and always to hopefully cause themselves to look better in their own eyes. It never works, for to look better through a lie is but to ensure failure of self-esteem, and shame replaces guilt. Shame, for the right reasons, is real and delightfully consequential according to the cause. It is not a man you follow in Christness that sets a great man beyond the norm. It is the Christness that you follow in a man that is the basis of truth and evolvement into that which is filled with God and creation. If the man is filled with lies and you turn and follow him, you have erred. Are you already in the dead zone? Salute, and may the thoughts you have be great.
Thank you. Well, I won't lessen a brilliant lesson by much comment. I do want all of you to look at this. I want to thank Les for doing your homework for you. This is the book, one of the most valuable books you will ever, ever get your hands on. So ask him at the break how you get it. Where do you get it? This one holds the key to the Hunza water, the vortex apparatus. It will not tell you how to make that little apparatus, but we're going to make that available. To live your life worthy of the gift that it is, you need to do some things. You need to respect self enough to do a few things. They're very limited. You mostly overdo. You get locked into these magnificent pathways and you become this or you become that, and I mustn't touch this and I mustn't touch that. No. Those are as addicting and as damaging as you can produce for self. But there are things that have come down through the generations of man that work. And these bear no deep secrets, it's just that you don't know. They're mysteries. I guard some of these mysteries very closely until we can evolve here and openly share some of these things without either you ending up in prison or being ripped off or being shut down because you've come up with a secret that is going to interfere with a new world order. This is where you're at with free energy. When the whole world is controlled on the basis of energy from Earth, which, by the way, is simply a renewable asset. You want to blame all those poor dinosaurs for dying and giving you crude oil? No, it's a volcanic byproduct. But it's polluting to you as you use it. So you have to outgrow it. And you have to be able to have something if you are without it. When the power goes down in the Western United States, it's awkward, isn't it? And they've proven to you they can do it. They can do it anytime they want to. You've just been through some test runs. They can't even keep the power on all the time for the opening ceremonies at the Olympic program. Or in the middle of a basketball game, goes out. Come on, these are tests. They're testing you. And they're finding out how far they can push, what you will take, will you just bounce back, and oh, well. And yet, you would ask, well, what do you suggest we do? I don't. That's your business. But don't be gullible. Know what you're doing. If you are there, know why you're there. And if you're enjoying it and there is nothing more than the enjoyment of the moment and it's worth it to you, be there. Don't lie to us. Well, I had to go over to Atlanta. Nobody has to go anywhere except to prison if they put shackles on you and haul you there. And then they can't imprison your mind unless you choose it to be that way. And if you make bad choices, expect the consequences. But it was a good choice that I made when I picked up my AK-47 to defend my city. Was it? Who did you listen to? You sure didn't listen to me. Because the only thing that I know of in a patriot's hands, like an AK-47 that's going to happen, is that patriot is eventually going to get dead. Incarcerated or worse. Why do you think the modus operandi of the evil mind is torture. It is to hopefully prevent you as an honorable, godly soul from wanting to come back into such an arrangement and give them more trouble. Torture is carried over into the dead zone experience. Why would you subject yourself to that? Are you serving less your God to stay whole and alive? I'm going to take a break here and let you ponder that a little bit, and hopefully you'll come back with a whole bunch of questions. We're getting to the point where I'm not going to shelter you from these truths. You will be on that other side of the veil what you were here. It doesn't strip away. Memory fails even more than it does when you're birthed into this little world. So your growth in the experience of choices does its major growing in this element of a third dimensional play. Because you can grow and make choices and decide what you will do. Is it lesser godly to quietly make your plans to build up through, or to take up a gun and murder? There's no such thing as innocent killing. If you must kill to defend life, I suppose that can be considered acceptable. On the other hand, you make up flowery little speeches about things and choices and all of these other ideas that you get. Killing is murder, you see. I suppose if you kill an animal, did you murder it? We're talking semantics. If you remove a life, that life is removed in the bodily form. I'm not your guide, your teacher, your warden that decides for you what is acceptable. That is between you and God and your level of growth. And if you believe that a woman should have fair and full choice over an 8-month baby. I think you call it full term, I don't know what you call it. In vitro abortion. What do you call it? When you have a 7 or 8 month baby and the doctor pulls partial abortion, partial what? You have pulled the baby out of the womb, stabbed it at the base of its skull to suck out the brains. What do you call it? When 20 minutes later, or if that babe were delivered in full, it probably would live. Those are your choices, not mine. I answer for my choices. I'm certainly not going to allow you to use me to answer for yours. Is that different now than the egg that has just been fertilized? Where does a responsibility begin? It begins before the egg is fertilized, in the choices that you make. So all of life from birth to passage is but an experience in choice making, in maturing, in growing. And you can grow and mature in anything you want. The consequences are out here, past the dead zone. Not in the dead zone, past the dead zone. My commission is to do what I can to bring a record of this time and to bring a remnant through. Not to pound upon your heads and say, you have to believe this. I may at some point say, you're going to have to stop believing the garbage. But I'm going to leave what the garbage is up to you. Because you're not going to cop out anymore on what Hatong said. And if I am no greater than that, then I deserve what Mr. Ince called me, and that is an asshole. Dharma's bad enough, but that Hatong is an asshole, and he could hardly say it. He was so angry. But he's also the one who says, you don't need God. You don't need God. Just go look in the mirror. There's God. I suggest you choose your mirrors very, very carefully. And even if there is no God in reality, man, you need him. You need something higher than self to seek to achieve beyond this world of chaos. And on that note, I hope you live a healthy life, and let's start with cake. Yes.
Before we start with cake, I think we have two reports that need to be done. Do you want to take up after cake, or do you want to get the reports out of the way first?
That's up to everybody. I don't eat cake. It isn't that I've not known ever to have eaten cake.
Ed, do you have something from Soltech, maybe?
Well, let's leave. Let's leave for break on something different and something wonderful. And these I'm not responsible for. And so it helps us to be able to share the things that come from others so that we don't get locked in to an idea.
Since our last meeting, Commander can mention what he would like me to share, but we do have other good information coming in which we are sharing in contact. And since our last meeting, there was a writing from one of the Ascended Masters that was introduced to us through the Rainbow Master series. El Moria wrote a good writing, which we provided in the July 16 contact, the most recent contact. It's not been read into the tapes. There is that one, and there are two, a short Soltech writing, which was at the beginning of a private writing, but it so closely meshed with words Commander is giving us this week on, Commander Hatton is giving us this week on the clashing of the Titans, that I extracted it from a private writing to share with our readership. And there is a writing, a full writing from Master Hilarion, another one of the Ascended Masters, which is hot off the press and will be in this week's paper.
Yes.
So it's your choice, Commander.
My choice is to read them all so that they're all on tape. And
okay.
I would read them all with this recognition. You who receive, get ready. Part of the training program. And I did not say programming training. I said the training program is to be able, in this time of chaos, to be able to sort what is coming to you. That doesn't say, oh my goodness, I don't know, and therefore I better not write anything. You are headed for a time when there is nothing special about sitting anywhere receiving, other than a pain in the head for having to sit there and do it. Now, another thing that is coming back is, well, who did what when? I was just told that Rick Martin and Sananda and Desiree Green and Druthia and, well, Sananda was wonderful, and I came and I did because of Sananda. Wait a minute. Before Druthia, before Rick, Sananda was leaning on Dharma's ear and fingers. And then each of the masters that we called the seven Kohans came. Because each has a frequency. Germain is violet. He is a seventh Kohen. Lanto is golden. We're talking about higher teachers, professors. Kohen means teacher, professor. Chela simply means student. Not follower, not disciple. Trying to learn. That's all. And many books were written before either of the other two receivers put to paper and to press. So when you get hung up on who did the receiving according to what you're going to believe, that's incorrect, an assumption. If there is difference between the teachers in the overall concept, you better watch out. And none of us, me included, none of us would tread upon another's project. That's why we get along. And when there is quarrel, it makes it very easy to perceive the error. And we're getting a lot of extremely, very good receivers. And they pay dearly for that. They pay dearly for that. They're discounted, they're discredited. Well, you couldn't be as good as that other one. Well, how do you know? And always these ones have gone through the hell of the decision to serve for that very reason. I doubt myself, how can I not doubt you? But they get very, very careful. And so do we. And I want to welcome aboard many of you. You're receiving and you're writing. You're just not going to share it. That is wonderful. Because that is response to your prayers. And it's private. And once you come public, oh, it sounds wonderful. Oh, listen. They're going to read my thing. They're going to do my thing. Bullshit. If that's the reason you did it, you better reconsider. But when you have guts enough to ask and then sit down and listen and write it, all the tricksters will come and even your teachers will pull ones on you. Those are called tests. Where are you? What are you doing? And after a while, when you persevere, you don't let the negative ones in. And yet you're gracious enough to allow them to attend your lessons. And as I said, you have a room full. Where else are these dead souls going to find truth and know that they are alive? So thank you. Every time we have an opportunity from this writer to, and I'm saying, this writer, we're not going to write everything that everybody sends to us because you had the answer to a prayer. This one is part of this mission. Dharma cannot do it all. And every rainbow master of the seven Kohans will come to write with this one. And you will begin to recognize those different energy forms. And they will always identify. Hilarion is one of the most magnificent teachers on dark side energies that you will ever, ever find. And if you can find Dark Robes written by Hilarion, it is one of the best informative books you will ever find. And with that big lecture out of the way, go ahead.
What do I do for an encore?
It's going to be hard. Because well, the message is coming through, I'm humbly grateful. And for you who think, oh, well, it's Ed. No, it's not. Some of it's Ed. We all talk to Ed. We all bend his ear. And he responds in music. And so it's a good trade-off.
Well, I'll try to one-up you. There is something we're going...
Oh, is this a challenge?
Yes, it is. There is a crop circle photograph which we are going to run in this week's contact, which is remarkable in the way it arrived and in the documentation behind it, which is why we're taking a little space to run it this week. And what happened was... This crop, particular crop circle, and I hate using the word crop circle because the diagram or the design in this particular wheat field is so intricate and so extraordinary in its geometry that to call it a crop circle is certainly an understated misnomer. But this particular wheat field is just across the road from Stonehenge in England, and it is also on an approach, an airplane approach to a apparently fairly busy airfield. And one afternoon, the afternoon of July 7th, one plane came in over this wheat field and saw nothing. Now, this is in the afternoon, bright daylight. 15 minutes later, the next plane flew over the same wheat field, and there was this intricate crop circle. So within a 15-minute window, in broad daylight, this particular crop circle was formed. And because of the verification of the pilots and the time frame and all of that, it throws out the window the ability of the doomsayers to say all of these are just people stomping around in hip boots out there in the middle of the night.
They were Olympic sprinters.
Yeah, that's it. See, I can't ever get all the facts straight. That's right. They were Olympic sprinters. Well, they were better than a professional team. This particular photo is from Art Bell after he verified the veracity of the photograph from several UP and API sources. He downloaded it to his webpage, and I pulled it off of Art Bell's home page, and that evening, while people were pulling it off and looking at it, and he was talking about it on his show, a professional surveyor, 20-some years in the surveying business, called in and said he had just downloaded it and studied it carefully, and said it would take his team of 8 professional surveyors at least 1 solid week of work to begin to approximately lay out this intricate design, and yet it appeared within 15 minutes. There in the broad daylight. So this will let the amazing Randys and the rest of them who are quick to have an alternate explanation for everything, this will give them something to think about. And we're running it in the paper this week so everybody can see it. Now, with that out of the way...
Aren't you going to ask me about it?
Oh, yes, Commander. That was going to be your one-upping me.
Earwigs and gophers.
Well, between the Olympic sprinters, the earwigs, and the gophers, I hardly know how to apply any science to this explanation.
Happy birthday, Martha.
Yes, my mother is visiting from Pennsylvania, and her birthday was this past Thursday evening. And we had a little bit of a party for her, and many of the hosts were there, and we thank them for being present, too. And thank you for protecting the house, Commander.
Thank you.
Okay, the first writing is from the Ascended Master, known as El Moria, the statesman, the elder of the first ray among the 7 rainbow masters.
Thank you.
Should I introduce this again, maybe? EJ?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, this writing is from July 14th of this year from El Moria. Begins, "Greetings, I am El Moria, one of the Ascended Masters. I come in the one light of Aton, that is all. Thank you for receiving my energy this day. Be not distracted, else the opportunity will be lost. Your planet is in great need for balance. She cannot continue much longer in her current state of crisis. She shall not be denied her balance within the oneness of Creator's light. There shall be a massive cleansing cycle that she will undergo. This cleansing shall be quite devastating to those ones, humans, animals, plants, etc., to whom she gives life. It is as if your planet has a fever, and before it breaks, her temperature will need to rise. She will need to excrete the poisons, toxic, radioactive waste, etc., which have been placed under her skin. She will, in the process, have to rearrange her waters and shift their healing properties to the places which need them the most. You ones have been warned over and over again. There was opportunity as caretakers of the planet to reverse the damage foisted off onto the life-giving entity that you ones erroneously call Earth. She is not dirt. She, your planet, is a living, sentient being. You take for granted the gifts she freely gives. The darkness of those who are destroying her and who suppress the masses has grown to epidemic proportions. The mentality of the average person is so filled with negative, non-lighted energy that such has made your planet so dizzy, so off balance, that she even wobbles in an unnatural manner as she revolves around trying to fulfill her purpose. You ones need to learn to honor your planet and be thankful for the gifts she gives, not the least of which is life itself. Ones always seem to wake up too late. Many go around in their own self-centered world, not even thinking about how their actions or inactions will affect them tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is here. And that which you ones have neglected in the past will be brought around full circle for you ones to confront again, this time in a most direct and impacting manner. When the Earth, as you call her, shakes you into an awakened state of realization that you are so truly small and cannot do anything to stop her massive quakings, maybe then you shall appreciate that which you take for granted. Earthquakes of catastrophic magnitude, 9 and greater, are imminent. Increased volcanic activity in places now seemingly dormant is imminent. The shifting of your ocean waters is now imminent. You ones must come to realize the reasons why these things shall occur. It is because of the universal laws of balance, the laws of cause and effect. You ones must realize that you are responsible for that which you helped to create. You may say, but I did not pollute the waters of the skies. Do you drive or ride in an automobile? Do you not buy from and thus support the fuel companies which provide you ones with gas and electricity? They in turn pollute rivers and streams. The exhaust fumes from your cars, buses, trucks, and airplanes, do not they pollute your air? Do you wash your clothes with chemical solutions? Where do you think the rinse water goes? One person alone could not contaminate your planet by acting in this manner. But 5 billion or more people acting in this manner can and indeed have. Those things you ones do daily, usually without thinking of future long-term consequences, are the things which are the most dangerous to your own survival. Am I saying do not drive your automobiles? No. Am I telling you to stop washing your clothes? No. I am suggesting that you change the way you think regarding your non-caring attitude towards your planet. Some say that they care about the planet, but they are still unwilling to sacrifice their own personal comfort to really do anything about your planet's current problems. The first true step in solving such a problem is educating people to the reality of the magnitude of the problem. There are ones on your planet who are very sensitive to your planet's electromagnetic, that is, its emotional, shifts. These are the ones who get sick or exhibit some other physiological symptoms, such as a headache, prior to earthquakes, volcanic activity, etc. These ones innately know and respect the life form which sustains their existence. These are the ones who can help you to understand the needs of your planet. They have a direct link. Some don't even realize why they have this gift, and in fact, they often view it as a burden. As I have said, you ones have been warned time and time again. There was an opportunity for reversing this current situation, but it is now long past. Now you ones shall be given to learn your lessons once again, the hard way. If you dislike this message, I suggest you ask yourself, why do I dislike this message? Ones most often do not like to be made to feel responsible for that which befalls them. Most wish to blame their sufferings on another and will go to great lengths to try to justify their position. I shall tell you now, if something impacts you, whether it be good or bad, then you have helped in some way to create it. There are no victims. When you can rise above your self-centered meanness and realize that you are responsible for everything that you do, then you will be able to begin to see a larger picture unfolding. With this shift in viewpoint, you will begin to realize that there are great opportunities available to you for growth at this time. You will begin to stop making the same mistakes over and over again, lifetime after lifetime. You will begin to realize that there is a reason for everything that happens. There are no chance happenings, period. When you once can begin to understand the true whys of these seemingly tragic events, then you will be ready to truly accept your responsibility in creating a better way of doing things. Else you shall be destined to repeat these tragic horrors over and over again. As always, the choice is yours. I am El Morya. Come in the one light of the I Am Presence. Thank you. Now, next writing is from July 20th, and it is from Soltec. It's a short writing, as I said, and it was at the beginning of a private writing, and the person who was the receiver for this message had not read any of Commander's writings this week, could not have, where Commander has begun to alert us to the clashing of the Titans. And so what Professor Soltec has to say here in this brief writing is a very good adjunct to the clues Commander is trying to point out to us in several writings which will be in this week's paper. Soltec begins, "Good morning, my friend. It is I, Tonio Soltec, here in the radiant light of the One Creator. My, are we not in an awkward predicament this day? The power players are positioning for the opportunity to unleash their weaponry in order to gain full control of your planet's resources. The plane explosion, TWA Flight 800 in New York, as you can now see, was clearly a deliberate act of murder. These dark ones have so little regard for life that they would destroy over 200 people in order to get the one that they really want. The rumored government documents was a secondary target, but nonetheless a target that cost lives. Allow this to show you the means and the methods being used against you in order to control the masses. It is viewed that you ones, the Americans especially, have too much freedom of travel, thus the need to create panic and fear to keep you one stationary. Control is the key focus of these power players. There is much else planned in the way of retaliation. You will have to pay very close attention to the clues and reported accidents in quotes, worldwide. These dark ones are desperately trying to hold their power positions, yet they slip away anyway. This is how the adversary eats himself. Through patience and persistence, we of the Lighted Team can continue to grow in strength and wisdom and eventually be the only ones left on the playing field. We are not a threat to these heavy hitters, for they know that we will not attempt any physical action against them, just merely inform those few people who might listen. The Dark Ones are so confident in their ability to control the mindless masses that they rather enjoy what they like to call, quote, our brag sheet, otherwise known as contact. Thank you for writing this short message, my friend. We are those who watch over you. May God give all of you the strength and conviction you need to persist through these trying times. With much love and light, salute." That's from Tonios. Now, this next writing is from Master Hilarion, also on July 20th. Master Hilarion is the fifth ray, the emerald green ray of healing. For those of you who don't know Master Hilarion. He begins, "I am Hilarion, master of the emerald ray. I come in the light of the one light. My scribe, another, was to come at this time, but due to the recent events, changes have been made, and I, Hilarion, have been called to give a message at this time. Allow my healing energy to balance you so that we may maintain the signal."
This is important. I don't work much or interrupt or feel an urgency to speak of your chakras and your kundalini and your purple this, and this is one of the most important energy entities that will come your way. Not only does this one hold such reverence from the rest of us, but this is your heart, Ray. This is your heart, your life, the muscle, the heartbeat of yourself, the heartbeat of your planet is Hilarion. Emerald green for the chakra right here at your heart.